Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Gold. Quarter number four. It's actually quarter number three, T. Frank. Getting ahead of myself.
Time flies when you're having fun. Or you're trying to get rid of me. One of the two.
No. Maybe I'm just trying to get you to stick around for another quarter. But you're leaving after quarter number three. We've got a special segment with the coach, Coach Caduti, which I think you all want to stick around for. Let's start this again. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. It's quarter number three, and that means it's time to ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football questions. And if you want to submit a question for T. Frank, download our app. It's Keystone Sports. You'll see the button there to submit your question for T. Frank, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net. We are going to select a winner who asked the best question, and I'm going to put that on you, T. Frank. Pick that winner, and they will win the KSN polo, but the pressure's on you to pick that winner. So pay attention to the questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I can handle pressure sometimes.
Okay. Let's start with Jay from Lewes, Delaware. If Drew Aller is an Elite 11 quarterback, why is he only listed as a 3-star on BWI, whereas Bo Prabula is a 4-star? Thank you, and love your analysis.
Well, thanks, Jay. The simple answer is that these things are updated periodically, not progressively. So eventually, those will be updated, and I'm assuming that Drew Aller will be a 4-star quarterback. So it's just a matter, it's a clerical thing, not necessarily a reflection right now of what the situation is, because Drew Aller is, I think, if you in any stretch of the imagination, he's a 4-star quarterback. So that you are right in thinking that, and that I would imagine will be updated soon.
Very good. All right, this one, you gave a little foreshadowing of this question, T. Frank, in the last segment, but we'll take the question anyway. Eric from Chicago says, when you review a high school tape, are you watching only the player's highlights or are you watching entire games? If just the highlights, what are you looking for since you're only seeing the player's absolute best plays?
So that's a really great question, and a lot of this started with just doing highlights. So you can do context clues. So noticing patterns, noticing what's not said, reading between the lines. When you only have highlight film available, that's what you need to do. So let's give the example of a corner. You have a corner that has a lot of plays that are on tape where you see him catching a lot of interceptions, but they're all pop flies. You don't see him in man coverage. You see him off. So then my question is, what's his ability in press man coverage to run in man-to-man situations? Does he have any receiver highlights where he's at the catch point? What are his route running skills like? Because those translate, those change direction skills, that sort of stuff translates to the physical ability to play corner in those situations. That can give you some context. But one side effect of the pandemic is there's much more video from the high school level of high school football players in games. So I, as much as I can, I try to see 3 or 4 of their games from the season, and I watch the full game. I watch them both on offense and defense if they play both sides, and that gives me a broader context of what they are and what they aren't. And that's where I try to make sure when I do my strengths and areas of development that we are giving the full picture and kind of saying, hey, you know, we just talked about Drew Aller. There are things on his film, and I'll be getting to this in some stuff for Blue White Illustrated this week, of like, hey, I want to point this out because you're not going to see it on his highlight tape, but you need to know this in context about his game, because that will change a lot of how you might feel about Drew Aller and the reality of what he is.
T. Frank, let's share with our listeners a little bit about how our conversations go off the air. You mentioned that you'll be doing some review of Drew Aller this week for BWI. Does that mean we'll have a segment next week about Drew Aller?
We certainly can if you want to. the Elite 11 video was released this week from Rivals. So I'm taking a look at that and just kind of giving you, again, context of what those videos mean and what I'm seeing personally from some of the top recruits that are there, including Ohio State's Cade Ewers and a couple of the other players, including Aller, and how he compares and contrasts those styles. So that's something I'm doing for Blue White Illustrated this week, and then we can talk about that next week when we're on this show, and I'll give you even more context. You'll get all the context.
Fantastic. All right. That eliminates one of our conversations from this upcoming week. we'll let the listeners
in. Doing business.
Yeah. Let them know how things work. All right. Here we go. This is an interesting one. Before I ask this question, let me mention to you that Dustin was off this week, okay? So we did something a little bit different. I had one of our listeners co-host the show for me earlier this week, okay? It was Steve from Potomac, Maryland, and Steve did an incredible job. He was fantastic. And by the way, you would appreciate it as a glass half empty kind of guy.
Oh,
his favorite topics are being critical of Coach Franklin and the quarterback, at Penn State. So he got real with it, and he did a fantastic job.
He's playing all the classics, playing all the hits.
Exactly. So with that context, here's Marcus from State College. Hi, T. Frank. I heard the listener and Penn State fan co-hosting the show earlier this week. I am both a Penn State fan and listener. How do I get to co-host the show? And do you, T. Frank, have any influence?
No comment. Be really good friends with one Jim Galante. And ask and ye shall receive sometimes. So I can give you my public endorsement, if that will help. If that is something that will help, I will do that for you, Marcus. So if you want to strap on your analyst hat and you want to come and sit in this seat, I will tell you that I will be as critical of your performance here as I am of football players on the field, because I think that people get the sense that just because people do this, anyone can do this. And I, in my own arrogance, think that this is much harder than most people think. So, with that being said, know that you're getting into the boxing ring if you want to sit in this seat and do co-hosting.
So, Marcus, what do you think now? All right. It's funny, from this position, you go through it, I go through it, you see the listener reaction, and it's amazing. You could get 10 wonderful emails or comments, messages, and then there's one critical one. And guess which message you think about all day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, because of that, what we just talked about, I do have more sympathy for people like Sean Clifford and James Franklin, of like, if you are sitting in a public place and everyone's like, I can do your job. I don't know what goes into it, but I can definitely do it. I definitely have more sympathy for people like that because of this.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I'll tell you what. Let me get in the other question that referenced our show from earlier this week, where Steve was on the show, one of our listeners. And this is Ted from Easton, who says, heard the show earlier this week when Jim had a fan as a guest on the show. It was obvious he did not think very highly of Brent Pry. What is your assessment of Brent Pry's performance, T. Frank?
I think he's doing a good job. So this is the thing. I think he is a good defensive coordinator. Are there issues and are there things that happen that I maybe disagree with? Yes. Here's my theory, and this is something that maybe I should ask Brent. But a lot of the schemes and a lot of the systems that they employ maybe aren't the best from a schematic standpoint, but they are replicable year after year. So maybe you want them to be more aggressive with their corners. Maybe you want them to play more in a man-to-man. You want them to not play as much bail technique where they've got their butt to the sideline trying to protect deep. But do you, year after year, have the athletes to play that system? Can you find lockdown corners on a regular basis? That's a hard thing to do. So if you can find intelligent football players that can play with an instinct and scheme within the scheme, you have a better chance of replicating year after year consistent success. And if Brent Pry, I think he does a good job of scheming up pressures. He has some good wrinkles in what he does. And I think he evaluates talent well. I mean, they've done a good job of bringing good talent into the fold and using them appropriately. This is where I think a lot of people, when it comes to Brandon Smith playing at Sam linebacker, he's your most athletic linebacker. Should they have moved him to Will earlier and at least had one guy who was playing above average? Probably. But I don't question the idea of putting your longest, most athletic linebacker in space and seeing if he has the instincts to play that position. On top of the fact that they spent the entire year thinking Micah Parsons was going to be the Will. So that's a pretty good lineup. And then at the last minute, all these plans that you had in place for so long, you have to adjust. So you do the least amount of adjusting possible, because what you might have done is put the wrong guy in the wrong situation, have a catastrophic failure. In the end, what they did is they adjusted over time. And you can second guess those things, but that's, again, that's where I'm saying, from someone sitting in this seat, it's not always as cut and dried as you think it is, because you're seeing the result. You're not seeing the process that goes into those decisions. So from a Brent Pry perspective, I think he's a good defensive coordinator, but it's a really hard job. Nick Saban, one of the best minds in college football, is like, we need to keep teams to like 35 points. That's what it is. So if the offense plays better, I think this defense is good enough to win Big Ten championships on a regular basis, in the sense that I think that they replicate a standard year after year, and that's what I'm looking for from a defense.
Real quickly, the follow-up is, as a fan, it seems like they do well on first down, second down, then third and long, they give up the big play. Is that just a fan's perspective, or is it really happening and a concern?
A little bit of both. I mean, from a fan perspective, you can see that that is correct. There are things that are in there that you pick up on and you are innately aware of because you've watched enough football. There are issues on third down. A lot of that, I think they emphasize pressure, but getting those top flight corners has been a place where they've lagged behind Ohio State's receivers. And that's where quarterback, you lag behind that a little bit, and that creates that differentiation where you've got good corners, but the other guys are making spectacular plays. They're doing things, throwing from the far hash to the sideline where you're not expecting it, or where most guys can't target. Those are the sort of things where they are struggling to kind of make up that gap. But we've seen in the last year or so, they brought in some really talented corners, and that's where I'm wondering, are they making that transition to trying to be more aggressive at that position?
Real quick, who's our winner?
I'm going to go selfishly, because again, I also like to think most things are about me. Eric in Chicago for asking about how the process works, or if I'm just looking at highlight videos, because it lends my credibility that I watch more tape than most people.
Very good. I had a feeling you were going to go that route. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Quarter number four, the coach, Nick Caduti, comes in. Stay tuned for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.